Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. We are very fortunate here today. We have Dwight Long, who, of course, is the city gardener right here. And, of course, he's a master gardener. And he loves to come out here and talk about it, things. And, you know, the weather has started to cool off just a bit. Isn't that nice, Dwight?
It is nice. It's teasing us a little bit, thinking we can go out there and do some planting.
Yeah, it's been pretty hot, and of course it's been so dry too, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's really been tough on a lot of the plants, and the grass is if your grass turns a little bit grayish color, that means it's going dormant, needs a little bit of water.
Wow. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things that you can do for fall, some of the fall planting. When to fertilize, what you need to do for your trees and shrubs. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do to get ready for fall. And, of course, over there at the Master Gardeners, they just started, didn't they, another class?
They did. I think last week was the first week.
So that's pretty exciting for people that want to become Master Gardeners. Now, they've also started an online version, haven't they?
I just heard about that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting. Right now, I believe they've got 300 people signed up for across the state.
So people will be taking it with other people across the state.
That's
pretty
right.
Cool.
Well, it's kind of at your own pace. It's not a where you're going to be sitting in there with other people at the same time. It's just going to be your own pace.
Well, that's an interesting way to do it because for a lot of people, it's been hard for them to make those meetings and make that commitment. So this will help a lot of people, won't it?
It should. It's going to give more access to the material and at their own pace and whenever they want to read the book.
It's a big book, too, isn't it?
It is. It's a pretty thick book. I mean, that one may be a little bit different. I've got it right here in front of me. It goes with me everywhere.
Yeah, it does. So how have things been going in Uptown Greenwood, all the things for the city and everything? It sure is looking nice up there, Dwight.
Well, I appreciate that. It is hot.
It's
I think somebody turned the air conditioner off, and we're out there just continuing working and getting it done.
Any things that are going to be happening for fall? Any change out the plants or do any of that kind of stuff?
Well, we've got a few things that we're going to do. I'm beginning the process of growing the pansies for this year. And
Oh, okay.
As you know, last year, this past spring, I grew a lot of the plants there. All of them that we put out, I grew. So, and we're doing it again for this fall. Now, I've never grown pansies, but I've got some germination right now, so I feel pretty confident that we're going to be there.
Growing pansies from seeds.
That's right.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
How long is that going to take?
The germination rate on pansies, let's say 7 to 10 days, you should get germination. I put some pansy or some seed in last week on Friday, and I've had some germinate already.
Wow.
But pansies they're a cool season plant, so you don't want to grow these things in very hot weather. And right now, we've got hot weather. But I do have them in a cooler area so that the seed will germinate a little bit better.
That's great. That's great. So we've got that to look forward to. And, of course, as fall comes forth, there's going to be a lot of good things to do. You've got a program that's going to be coming, September?
September the 8th, and it's going to be at the Greenwood Metropolitan District. It's open to the public, and this lady, she's a fern lady.
A fern lady.
She's expert on ferns. She's grown them from scratch, which means spores, which is very difficult, in my opinion. And she's coming to talk to us about, some of the misconceptions, how to plant them, the care that it takes. And ferns can be a little bit finicky. I've killed some.
You killed some?
I'm just not in the home is where I've murdered the ferns. Out in the ground, I have a lot better rate. In fact, I can recover the ferns from very bad situations.
Well, everybody likes to do hanging baskets with them, but that's actually difficult for ferns, isn't it?
Well, any fern in a container, for one, you've got to have good drainage.
Right.
And it depends on the pot. A plastic pot is not going to provide the, well, it's going to, the salts from the fertilizer are going to stay in a plastic pot better or more, let's say longer than they would in a terracotta pipe or a clay pot. Clay pots are going to soak up the water a little bit more than plastic pots would. And ferns don't like their feet to be wet. And if they've got wet feet, some of them, I'm not going to say some of them are water ferns. They need to be right. That way. But it's very critical on how you put these things in containers. And they'll have to get water every day in this heat. They're going to have water every day.
Sure. So how do you cope with all this summer heat, you know, that we've been having? How do you make sure? You know, we talked the last time about mm-hmm. drip irrigation.
Right.
That's a good way to go. There's all different possibilities to do this. We're going to be talking about this. You know, if you've got a question for Dwight, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to be here talking. It's free advice today right here on the radio with Dwight Long, Ann Eller, and Meet Me at the Diner. So don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Sunday, Monday, happy days.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Dwight Long, Master Gardener. Live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here's your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are back here at Sharp Facets. We are talking with Dwight right now. Just want to give you a market update on gold, staying right around that $1,785 price range here. Goes up a little bit, it goes down a little bit, but hey, I am amazed that it is where it's at, folks. So if you've got gold, if you've got diamonds, if you've been thinking, oh, I missed the bubble last week, you can get in on it today. That's right. Don't know what it'll do tomorrow. You know, the markets are all very volatile right now. But $1,786 on gold, excellent time to sell. If I had some more, I would sell some personally. But we're shipping every day because we never know what tomorrow's going to bring. Silver right now, $39.94. That's right at that $40 mark again. Staying pretty steady today. I'd take advantage of it. And if you'd like to, we're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We'll be here till 6 o'clock tonight. But we were talking about with Dwight here, we were talking about ferns. And, you know, you were just telling me how they don't like direct sunlight.
That's right. The majority of them do not.
And yet, we always think of the beautiful ferns hanging from porches all over the South. That's just kind of a classic look, isn't it?
That's right.
And you were just telling me most of the time they're Boston ferns, and they need to be rotated. Tell us what you were just telling me.
Well, you should rotate the ferns. Anything really in a hanging basket should be rotated, but the ferns especially should be rotated. They're going to get light on one side, and so it's going to grow to that side. And if you do have direct sunlight, they don't like direct sunlight. They like indirect, but they do like bright light. It's a little bit different.
That sounds kind of finicky to me to be an outside plant hanging up there, right?
It is, and some people have extreme luck with them.
Yeah? Is there luck in growing plants?
I think there is to some degree.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'll throw something out there in an area that may make it or may not, and if it makes it, then I'm lucky.
So even a master gardener doesn't really always know how it's going to work out. It's an educated guess, shall we say.
It is an educated guess, and for the most part, I get it right. And that's what we do. We understand how the plant grows, what its needs are, and that's what we give it. And then the plant will do its own thing.
Sure. So but ferns really need to be rotated. They don't like that direct sun. So if you like to have those hanging baskets there, what should you do? Take them down and rotate them out?
Well, there are some. Actually, they sell devices that will rotate these things automatically for you.
Oh, okay.
I've never tried one, so I don't know. But the key to having a hanging basket and a fern is to water in the morning. Make sure it does not get dry. These ferns don't like it when it gets dry. They'll do you bad.
They'll do you bad.
They will.
We've had a challenge all summer. We had some daisies out there, and you know, you put the, you water them in the morning, and at 4 o'clock you go out, and they're like, "I'm dying here."
That's right.
Yeah, so it's a challenge.
The key to keeping the plants alive in this kind of heat is you really need to get the water to them first thing in the morning, and especially a hanging basket. If you say put water on it the let's say 4 o'clock the day before, and then you're going to water it again at 4 o'clock, you've got an extreme amount of heat that that plant has to go through. So it's best to water them first thing in the morning, and then it's going to make it through the worst part of the day, and what's left in the pot is just going to be taken up through the evening.
Sure.
So it's best to do all of your watering in the first thing in the morning.
Of course, one of the best things you've told us is that drip. And,
that's
you know,
correct.
My cane is out here. When we had the air conditioners dripping water out there, they were fabulous. Don't have that drip going on. They're just not doing the same now.
That's right. Drip is going to allow the water to get to the root system. Let's say we had the rains a couple of, over the weekend, and the rain came down really, really hard. And the clay that we have in our soil, it's just pretty much just ran off. It came down fast. It was a lot of
it,
but it doesn't soak in. So it didn't really get to the root system. And what drip irrigation allows you to do is just continue just a small amount of water going to the plant or to the root zone, and it'll get deeper. And that's much better for the plant. Plus, you're not getting water on the leaves, and that's also a good thing.
Absolutely. Now, when we talk about going into fall, what are some of the things like lawns? You know, you hear about putting this type of grass out there, that type of grass. What are the type of things you should do going into when we actually get to fall, which may be September sometime, October?
Well, I don't know now. If it's this hot, I don't know what's going to happen. But normally for warm season grass, and I'm going to use Bermuda in this particular talk, I mean, warm season grass would be, say, Bermuda, St. Augustine, zoysia, centipede. Those are pretty much the four types of warm season grasses we grow around here. Bermuda, right now you need to start looking at putting nitrogen in there, giving it a fertilizer that's going to make it through to give it some strength for the winter. Centipede doesn't need much right now. They're kind of the poor man's grass, and so there's not much to really do with it. You can just put a complete fertilizer out. Zoysia is also right now needing some nitrogen, but again, you want to put a complete fertilizer out for these. But you want to do, if you put it out any earlier, twice a year, first of May, and then again in August, and that's a slow release, and that gets it the plant a little bit healthier to make it through the winter.
Sure. Now, what about people that, don't they put out like ryegrass or something in the winter?
Yeah, that's called overseeding.
Okay.
And that's something that we're beginning to talk about to do in town. And what we'll do is we'll scalp the grass, and when we scalp it, we just take it right down to the soil line.
You actually get rid of it, or it's still the root system is still there?
The root system is still there. We're just cutting off the top of it. I mean, we're leaving a little bit of green, but the grass is beginning to go dormant at that point in time. And we'll typically overseed with a perennial ryegrass, and that's going to be in the latter part of September when it's a little bit cooler, because ryegrass is a cool season grass.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the fescues are cool season grass, and that's the time that you do it. And earlier I was talking about pansies and germinating the seed. They need cooler temperatures to germinate, and that's the same with ryegrass and fescue.
So, but you really need to wait till it does cool off.
That's right.
I mean, if you did it when it was still in the 80s, I mean, if we in September are still having 90-degree weather, which
then
is possible.
Right. And we wouldn't put it out. We're going to wait till it gets a little bit cooler. And you're going to have to keep the seed moist, and that means that you're going to have to irrigate a little bit more during that time.
But that's what makes those, the lawns that you see that are beautiful and green in the middle of the winter.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's another thing to do. What other things should we be doing for our yards? I mean, grass and yards and that type of thing, Dwight?
The biggest thing that I would do right now, and this is something that I've got to do downtown, is I'm going to get some soil samples done so that we know what to put out for as far as fertilizer and any other kind of nutrient. And that's what I would recommend everybody do.
What do they do with the soil?
Well, the soil, you take it down to the Clemson Extension office, and you tell them, I want to get a soils test. And I would recommend two times a year doing that, and that's here around this time and then the first of the year. And then they can recommend what the nutrients you need to keep it
good shape.
Yeah, keep it in good shape.
Now, where do you take it?
The Clemson Extension office. It's at the old Brewer School on, Cambridge.
Cambridge, yep, right there. Yeah, right up.
I visit that place almost weekly, and I still don't know the street, so sorry.
But now, is there a charge for doing that, Dwight?
Yes, I believe it's gone up to maybe $5 or $6, but it's well worth it because they can give you a ton of information.
This will keep you from, instead of trying to think that, well, I just need to put this fertilizer or that fertilizer, it'll actually save you in the long run, because if you don't need it, you don't need to put it on there, and if you need something else, you can balance it out.
Exactly. I've talked with a lot of people that every year they will put out the same fertilizer on their grass every year, same time. It looks great, but it may not be what the grass needs. So you can, by getting a soil sample, you will find out exactly what it needs.
Now, what do you do when you get a soil sample? You just take a bunch and put it in a little tub and take
it down there? You can take a small trowel, hand trowel, to go out there, and you don't get it from one location. You're going to, let's say, for just
Should you
the
keep
lawn.
Them separated?
No.
You take a bucket.
You take a bucket, and you run around to five or six different locations in your yard, and you dig
so like
up
a
the soil.
Squirrel.
There you go. You might want to cover that up with some sand when you get through with making that hole.
Right.
But you put it in the bucket, you mix it together, you take all of the organics out that you can, that would be the grass and the roots and so forth, and then you put that in a bag. You can take it a sandwich bag full.
That's all you need is like a sandwich bag full?
Right. And then you go to the extension office, and they'll put it in a bag, or you can go to the extension office and get the paper bags and put it in there. And then they will, in a week or so, they'll come back with the assessment.
That's terrific. For $5, you can't beat it, can you?
No, and you need to do it. You really do. You may not. There's one person I talked to a couple of years ago. He always put lime out.
Right.
And he always put it out at the wrong time. But he did it, and I asked him why. He says, I just always did it. Well, what if your yard doesn't need it? And you're going to be putting something out there that you don't need. It could save you some money, especially nowadays.
Absolutely. Well, that's terrific. Hey, we're here with Dwight Long, Master Gardener, and the Master Gardener for Uptown Greenwood. So don't you go away. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back. We'll join South Carolina News in progress.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner with Host Ann Ellis. Our special guest today is Dwight Long, Master Gardener. Here's your host, live from Sharp Fences Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are on the air. We are live. And yes, I am Ann Eller. I was just out looking at Mel Thomas's hydroplaning boats. That's right. And I tell you what, we are so excited because he's going off to race this weekend. And Monday morning, he is going to be calling us and telling us how he did. Now, you know, Mel is over 70 years of age, and he's going to go out there and do it. I don't remember his exact age, but he is had three boats in his trailer there, and I sure am looking forward to seeing how he does this weekend. Got back into it after being away from it for several years. But, you know, our subject at hand here today is getting ready for fall with Dwight Long, the Master Gardener. So we've just had Dwight, we've had a lot going on here today, haven't we?
We sure have. I just wonder if he needs, we can put a lawnmower blade underneath that thing and he can cut some grass out there in the water.
Well, there you go. That could be pretty interesting, too. All right, everyone, Jeff said everybody is calling in about yellow patches or big brown patches in their yards. What can they do about it, Dwight?
Well, again, what I would do is call the Clemson Extension Service. Those are kind of typical, especially when it gets a little bit warm. It's a fungus that you're going to have to put a professional would have to spray on the yard to get rid of that.
Okay. So it is a fungus. It's not that fungus. You know, sometimes I think we think it's too dry and we need to water it more.
No. It could be chinch bugs, too, depending on the type of grass. Chinch bugs will pretty much eat up St. Augustine lawn.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody is asking questions here at Sharp Facets. Everybody had a yard question to ask you during the break, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of your employees, I think, he wants me to talk to him afterwards.
So it's the time of the year where, you know, everybody, you know, it's been so hot, it's been hard to be outside. But as we get into fall, everybody loves being outside in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure your yard looks the best it can be. And, of course, we are, looking forward to a little cooler weather. Now, they keep saying we're in a drought. Are we in a drought in our area?
Yes, we are.
With all the thunderstorms and everything that we've had? That's what I find it hard to believe.
I don't even remember when we haven't been in a drought. I mean, it'll recover, your ponds will recover the water in the winter.
In the winter. Mm-hmm.
But then you're going to use a lot of it up. I don't think that we're in a huge drought. But one
like
area,
some parts of the state are in a very much
right,
worse than we are.
Right,
right,
right, and that's true throughout the Southeast and the Mid South, say
around
Texas.
Poor people in Texas.
It's terrible.
And that'll take years for that to recover, won't it? Once they finally do get some rain or whatever, there it's going to be hard.
Well, some of them are getting extreme amounts of rain,
and some are not, though, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So we've talked a little bit about grass. The most important thing we probably have heard so far is you should take a soil sample this time of the year and the first of the year, and don't consider just because you've always put lime or you've always put whatever on it that that's what the yard needs.
That's right. You can overdo it with a chemical. And you can kill grass with putting too much nitrogen fertilizer out, too.
So we can't always just go by what we've always done. And, you know, with a service like that for $5, and all you have to do is take it by, drop it off, and they send it off, I guess. And,
that's right.
And then it comes back in a week, and it'll tell you what to do.
That's right. That's right.
And aren't they also very good at telling you the type, like if you were concerned about grass, what type of grass would be good for your soil? Or
Or
planting shrubs?
Again, that depends on what kind of shade you have, how much shade. If it's out in full sun, Bermuda's going to do well around here. If you've got a lot of shade, you're going to be doing something with fescue. But even in this heat, fescue is going to suffer. Probably more so than that's when I would get a little bit of soil and just put some shade plants underneath the tree.
Okay.
and mulch
instead
it.
Of trying to put
that's
get
right.
the grass to grow right up underneath it. Put some shade plants out
and
there.
And you could call a tree service and they could limb up the tree a little bit, and or you can do it yourself if you do it properly. Too much, too quick is gonna make the tree hurt a little bit. And you'll get a lot of suckers and water sprouts that you wouldn't really want.
Hmm. Now, one question that I have in my, I live in a condo, but I've got a little area there, and I have poison. I think it's sumac.
Uh huh.
You know, I can't figure out how to get rid of it. I also have some turtles back there, so I don't want to kill my turtles.
Gee, have you tried Roundup?
No, I haven't tried Roundup. You think that might work?
I think the Roundup would probably do it. There's also, depending on how large it is, there's some chemicals specific to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of over-the-counter, if you will, chemicals that you can get access to. Some of the stronger chemicals you're going to have a professional apply it, because it can kill just about. Or let's say that you can apply it to the wrong thing and you can have a problem that you didn't really plan for.
What kind of problem?
you could kill a tree.
Oh, okay.
With some of these chemicals.
Now, will it get down in the root and kill it so it won't come back again?
Roundup is a systemic. Systemic means it's going to, you put it on the leaves and it's going to go into the system through the plant and kill it completely. And it will go to the roots and it will die.
Well, okay. Well, there's one possibility there. I'll have to investigate that. I haven't seen much of my backyard this year other than to know it's out there.
Right.
All right. Now, we've talked a little bit about fertilizing. We've talked watering on grass. You know, we have so many people that just have their water on a timer.
Uh-huh.
Good, bad?
Well, if you water every day, and again, depends on the type of soil that you're in. If it's a clay soil and that's what you've got your grass growing on, it's going to be very difficult to get the water down deep. Grass needs about 1 inch of water per week. If you do it every day, then your root system is going to be very shallow,
mm-hmm.
because the water is not going to go deep. It's just going to stay right there at the surface. So when you get into a situation where it's hot, mm-hmm. like it has been, even if you water it, you will get the grass will go, it will be stressed, and it will go dormant. But it will come back with the next rain.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to do it. So now we have to do it downtown because it's you go about 2 inches deep and you're hitting gravel.
Okay.
So we have to do it more often down there, but we'll do it 4 times a week is what we've got going right now. And pretty soon we're going to start cutting that back when it gets a little bit cooler. And then right before frost, we may be only be watering once a week, if any at all.
Sure.
And then we'll just cut it off completely in the wintertime.
In the winter. Other things that we should be thinking about, fall planting, the type of plants that do well going into the fall. You know, you see a lot of the cabbages, the kales, they do
uh-huh.
this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good going into fall?
Sure. Those are cool season plants. And your pansies, your snapdragons, those are cool season plants. You will put those in the ground. They're not going to come back next year,
mm-hmm.
Even though that they're really, really cold hardy, they're not going to be able to survive the heat. So it's really to give you color through the wintertime. And you want to plant those, say, in the September to 1st of October time frame. And when the temperatures are cooler in the evening and the highs might be 70, mm-hmm. 75 degrees, and that's going to be toward the end of September.
End of September. So, you know, it won't be long, will it?
No, it won't. I can guarantee you it's going to come real quick. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, we are here with Dwight Long. He is the Uptown, the City of Greenwood Gardener, Master Gardener. He is a Master Gardener. If you've got a question for him, just give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We've got more to talk about. Don't you go away.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime. From Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Sunday, Monday, happy days.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Miller, special guest Dwight Long, Master Gardener. Here's your host, live from Sharp Facets Gallery, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery, and one of the things that I never know what to do is when it comes to pruning bushes and trees. We were just talking about that, Dwight. When is the right time to prune?
Well, for structure, you want to do it when the plant is in dormancy, because then you're going to be thinning out, and you're going to be cutting a lot of the tree out. But you can prune, let's say for safety, you're going to prune anytime that it needs it.
Sure.
Some of the shrubs will need pruning right after they bloom. Let's say if it blooms in the summertime, a Weigia, for example, would need to be pruned right after it finishes flowering.
And because?
Well, you're going to be cutting off the wood that it is going to bloom on next year.
Okay.
And so if you wait too long, then you're going to be cutting off your blooms. An azalea, for example, it's got a short period of time that you can prune those, and that is right after they flower.
Okay. So you don't have to wait till necessarily fall if it's a flowering one that you want to know where those blooms actually were. Is that correct?
That's right. You don't have to wait. Now, some hydrangeas will bloom again if you prune them at the right time, right after they finish blooming. We've got some downtown that I was able to get a few blooms off of them again, not many, but you can do it again and time it, and you can get some blooms.
Sure. So now what about trees? Is there any difference on trees when you should prune those?
Your maples, you really want to prune in the peak season, which means the summertime.
Oh, okay.
Right. If you prune in the winter, they have a tendency to bleed a lot, and all the sap runs out of them. It doesn't really hurt them all that much, but it's best to do some trees when they're in actively growing. Oaks, you have about a four-week time frame in the late winter to prune those if you want to prune. But we've been pruning oaks downtown also. But again, it was more safety than anything else.
Now, just for the record, if you have a question about these type of things, can you call the Clemson Extension and ask these questions?
Sure.
And somebody will tell you when, or you can you hire them to come out and look at your property?
Well, you can't really hire a master gardener.
Okay.
That's against the law.
Okay.
Or let's say against the rules.
Yeah, okay.
Against the rules. It's not against the law, but it's against the rules to do that. We cannot advertise our... We're a nonprofit organization,
mm-hmm.
and everything that we do is volunteer. We do not get paid for it.
But you can call, and you might be able to get a master gardener to come out and look and tell you what you need to do.
Right. We need really to let the extension office
do that.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Some of the master gardeners a little more advanced, let's say, than others.
Okay.
And there's one guy, you'll probably get him if you call the Clemson Extension office. He's incredible with insects and diseases. He's really good. I'm not that good.
You're not that good?
No.
You got a heck of a green thumb, though, there, Dwight, when it comes to growing things. And
well,
now that you're even growing the pansies and the, petunias and
sure.
everything that you're growing from seed in Uptown Greenwood, you really can save a lot of money, can't you, doing that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And anybody can do this. It's not not an extremely difficult thing to do.
But I think the problem is we all want instant results, though, don't we?
We do, and we expect it, and I can tell you it's not always going to be what you think it will be.
Right.
But as long as you follow a few basic rules and processes, you got to understand what the seed needs for it to germinate and when it germinates and the temperatures and the humidity, and there's a lot to it. And hopefully you don't have damping off, which is another fungus that will cause the seedlings to die.
Die, yeah.
Right. I've been lucky. Last year didn't have any, but that doesn't mean that I won't have it in the future.
Sure. Now, going into the fall, aren't there some crops that you can grow? I mean, everybody's had these great gardens this year, and, gardening is the in thing now. Are there some, you could do vegetables or things that you could plant going now or coming up
sure.
that would be great to have into, November, December, something like that?
You can. A lot of people are planting their fall crop now. I'm just not a big vegetable person, so I can't really give you specifics about how to do it, what grows best now, or when to put them in the ground. But there are people at the extension office who can give you that.
Now, what's the number there at the extension office people can call to find out what is going on? We ought to give that number out since we talk about it all the time. We ought to give that number out. So
Yeah, let me look it up real quick because I don't know it off the top of my head.
And that's would that be the number right there, maybe?
It'll be 223-3264.
That's right. That's the lady. That was the number I had here. So 223-3264. Now, can you tell us what the hours are over there? When are they there? Well, when is somebody there anyway?
Somebody's going to be there between about 8:30 and 5 o'clock.
Monday through Friday?
Right, Monday through Friday.
Okay. So if you, this is the perfect time to take that soil over there, get it tested. Don't keep thinking that you're doing the right thing, even though your grass looks okay or your plants look okay. For $5, you can find out what might really make it pop, right?
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
You don't waste money on something that you don't need there.
That's right.
All right. Well, what else do we have going on? We're talking about, they'll have to come back by. Okay, they'll have to come back by. It's not ready. Oh, yes, we're handling everything here today, from FedEx to Mel Thomas to people here in the store. That's right, a lot going on. So we're going to be having a program coming up in September 8th. This is about ferns, and since everybody has ferns, this lady is just phenomenal, isn't she?
She is, 25 years in the business, and she is currently growing more than 60 varieties of fern. And this is open to the public.
So you're probably expecting a big turnout. You're going to be having that over there at the Greenwood Metropolitan District office, correct?
That's correct, uh-huh.
And she will be here September 8th, 6:30 p.m. Make sure you put that on your calendar.
But you want to make sure that you call in first and get your name on the list. Because seating is limited. We can probably get around 100, 110 people in that room.
Wow.
So just go ahead. I mean, this is going to be great. All of the programs that we've had in the past where we've had people come in, it's always been enlightening.
Absolutely. This is Eleanor Craig, and she is a master gardener. She's had many winning exhibits at the Southeastern Flower Show in Atlanta for the past 8 years. She is presently growing over 60 varieties of perennial garden ferns at Fern Ridge Farms in Cedar Bluff, Alabama. So she's coming a long way up here to be part of this. She's not only going to introduce many new varieties for the garden, but will also cover planting, care, and some misconceptions many of us have about ferns. Now, one of the points I want to bring up, you were telling me that some ferns don't like to be touched. And that they can actually just...
They will disappear on you. They'll turn brown. You've got to be careful where you put the fern in the house.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to need bright light, not direct sunlight. And if you put it in a location where you're going to brush up against it all of the time, you're going to have some brown tips on the fronds.
Sure.
And so you just kind of put it over to the side and give it consistent watering. Make sure it doesn't dry out. And you should be successful. Unlike I, I can't do it in the house.
All right. Well, this is going to be a great program about ferns. And, you know, everybody loves ferns. And, you know, they're the classic plant that we always think of in southern homes and on porches. Mm-hmm. So if you want to find out more about this, you need to call 223-3264. That's 223-3264. It says press 0 and leave your name and phone number and the number of seats you are reserving. So that's to call in just to reserve a seat. If you have questions, you can call Patty Larson at 554-1600. That's 554-1600. And it doesn't cost you anything to go, does it?
No, this
it's
is free.
Uh-huh. This
and
is
we,
free.
And we do have a few eats there. So
few
you
eats?
Can, yeah, a few eats. We'll have to get Jeff to make some cookies.
Well, he'd probably like to do that. But this is going to be a fabulous program. Just for the record, we're looking at a picture here that you brought on your flyer that you're showing me, and her shirt even has a fern print.
It does. It
she
does.
She is addicted to ferns, isn't she?
She must have tripped and fell in one of them.
Well, she's called the Fern Lady, so she is an expert, and her name is Eleanor Craig. She'll be here on September 8th at 6:30 p.m., We, of course, will be talking about that, but they only have so many seats. So if you'd like to go learn more about ferns, and I think everybody has tried their hands at it, some people have been very successful, some people haven't. Give the call 223-3264, press 0. When they ask for what to press, press 0. Then leave your name, phone number, and number of seats you are reserving for this, which is September 8th at 6:30 p.m. That'll be great. You know, it has been so great to have you out here. We've talked a little bit about some of the things you could do. I think the most important thing we have learned here is get your soil analyzed.
That's right. And I'll say that every time I come in here.
Okay. And we'll have you back many, many more times, Dwight, to talk about what's going on, because people are always interested, and particularly because so many people now are into gardening. Isn't it interesting how gardening was real popular? Then it kind of waned.
That's right.
And now it's back being very much in the forefront.
Well, growing your own vegetables is going to save yourself a lot of money.
And plus, you know where they came from.
That's right.
That's right. But the other thing is, growing vegetables, you do need to have that soil where it's got the right nutrients, because otherwise the vegetables don't grow.
Exactly. You've got to have the right mix of soil, and you've got to have the nutrients at the right time. And if you do all of that, then you're going to have a nice, big, healthy plant.
And they'll produce some great vegetables.
That's right.
Dwight, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Keep Uptown Greenwood looking great.
Thank you.
All right. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy.